Man, God has been good to us, hasn't he? Amen. God's been good to us. Ephesians chapter number 5 is where we'll be taking our reading from this morning. I do desire your prayers as we get into the message this morning, that I'll be exactly where God wants me to be, that I'll preach what he's laid upon my heart, not get within myself, but always right in the middle of his word and his instructions for us. I do ask you just for a few moments this morning, let's just take tomorrow, let's take after a while, let's put all of it in the back of our mind, and let's focus for just a few moments on what God has for us in his word this morning. I do want to guarantee you one thing. If you're here this morning, you need anything from God. If you're here this morning, you're lost, you don't know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, if you'll listen for that small, still voice, because you know what? It's not about my preaching. It's not about the message that I'm going to bring. It's all about if you're in tune and listening for God's Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning, I promise you that he will speak to you if you will listen for that small, still voice. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you've walked away from God, you're not exactly where you need to be. There's things in your life that you need to get straightened out between you and God. I promise you, if you'll listen for him, that he'll speak to you. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you're walking where you're supposed to be walking, you're doing your best to live for God. If you're here this morning and you're in that shape, pray for me that I'll get there. Pray for me that I'll walk where God wants me to walk. Pray for each other that we'll always be strengthened in the Lord and be exactly what God would have us to be. And I'll give you my word on this. If the Lord allows us to be here in this sanctuary for another 20, 30 minutes or whatever it is, I'll guarantee you an opportunity to come and do business with God. I'll guarantee you an opportunity to either receive salvation, to get your relationship correct with God, or maybe just to come and to praise God for showing up in your life. I'll guarantee you that opportunity if you'll just listen for God to speak to you. If we'll bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me this morning. Lord, we want to thank you and we want to praise you for this opportunity that we have. God, I just want to give you honor and glory this morning. God, I want to lift you up. God, I believe that if we'll praise you and we'll worship you, that your spirit will show up here with us. God, thank you for the good choir singing this morning. God, thank you for letting your glory shine in my life, God, and dear Lord, being there when everything seems so dark and so dim sometimes. God, I pray, dear Father, as we go through this service today, God, and as we listen for your voice, as we have an opportunity to do business with you, God, I pray, dear Father, that as we leave this building, that we'll leave in better shape with you, God, that we'll leave closer to you. I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's never come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, God, I pray that today will be the day that they do that, God, and they receive a forgiveness of their sins, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, a helpmeet, God, that'll be there all of their lives. God, we just want to thank you and praise you that you loved us enough to allow your son, Jesus Christ, to come give his life for us. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5, we're going to read the first 18 verses. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." Now, you know, we kind of like those first two verses. We kind of like that, "Be ye followers of God as dear children." Yes, I want to follow God as my heavenly Father. We kind of like that, "Walk in love as Christ hath loved us," because he loved us so much and hath given himself for us an offering of sacrifice that he gave himself for us. But then when we get to verse number 3 and some of these other verses, we go, "Well, hang on a minute. Now you're telling me what I can do and what I can't do. I'm not so sure about all this. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint." He said, as you become saints and as you follow Christ as dear children, as you worship God for being that ultimate sacrifice for you, he says, let not fornication and uncleanness and covetousness be named among you. Don't even let it be named among you. Verse number 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. He says, instead of all of this stuff, I want you to notice how he says it. He kind of gives us an opposite. He says, instead of letting fornication and all this be named among you, he says, but rather giving thanks. Instead of doing this, do this. Verse number 5, for you know that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Verse number 6, he says, let no man deceive you. Look, I know times have changed. I know that preaching styles have changed. I know that the church has changed. But God's word has not changed. And if God says it's wrong and that we shouldn't be doing it, then it's wrong and we shouldn't be doing it. It doesn't matter what, don't let the world change God's word. He says, let no man deceive you. Verse number 8, for ye were sometimes darkness. I want you to look, he didn't say you were sometimes in darkness. He says you were darkness. He says you were part of darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. He says, now that you have come to the realization that Jesus Christ is light and that he has moved in on the inside of you, you're no longer supposed to be darkness. You're no longer supposed to be of the darkness, but you're supposed to be light and children of the light. And we should be reflecting Jesus Christ because he is the light of the world. We should be reflecting light. Verse number 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know what? We talk all the time to our teenagers about being careful who they hang out with, because you turn into who your friends are. Amen? We've all been there, right? You, whatever crowd you hang out with, I don't care. You may be saying, well, I got to be there for them so I can change them. I want to tell you right now, if they outnumber you, that they will change you before you ever change them. I'm not saying to disassociate to where they think that you think that you're better with them, but I'm talking about you can't hang out with them. My father-in-law always said, if you play with the pigs, you're going to get mud on you. And that's just the truth to it. So he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness. Don't play around with it. Don't say, well, I'm going to dibble and I'm going to dabble, because you know what? There are people this morning who are strung out on drugs, who are addicted to different things, that said, I'm just going to do a little bit of it. And all of a sudden, it's got a hold of them. But even more important than that, we as believers this morning, and this is who we're talking to here in this book, we as believers this morning, we have no business dabbling around in the world, because it affects our fellowship with Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know about that, preacher. Well, let's just get down to the nitty-gritty. I've been married to Autumn for 19 years. Several different times in the Word of God, God compares the church to his bride. We're married to God. Now, I want to ask you something this morning. If my wife finds out that I'm not cheating on her, but I'm just holding hands with another woman at work, do you think it's going to affect our relationship? Amen. I probably am not going to be here, and if I am, I'm going to have a big knot on my head where she hit me with a frying pan. We don't use them much at home to cook with because we're not there, but I guarantee you she can hit me and use it for a weapon this morning. And we say, well, I'm just going to dibble, I'm just going to dabble around with that. Will you let my wife get on my cell phone and just find out that I've been texting another lady and putting little hearts in my text messages to her? I'm just dabbling now. I'm not cheating. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to affect our relationship. I'm getting the evil eye this morning, just using it for an example. Amen. Somebody contain her and keep her back there until I get done. Now, I'm just telling you this morning, you cannot dabble around in sin without it affecting your relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse number 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Don't even sit around and talk about it and let your mind begin to absorb it, because in your mind is where your lust absolutely comes from. And then when that lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and then sin brings forth death. So don't even get that mess in your mind that, hey, it might be okay. It might. Don't even think that thought. Verse number 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Verse number 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Again, I want you to see the opposite that he used there. Not as fools, but wise. Verse number 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse number 18 is where we wanted to get to. Please don't cut me off before I get through the message this morning. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess. But, you want to notice when he's talking about those opposites? Be not as fools, be as wise. And then, when you see that word but, you kind of see an opposite here. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, just using good old Cana common sense, to me, that's saying to me, if I am drunk with wine, there's no possible way that I can be filled with the Spirit. It's like saying, I'm not fat, but I'm skinny. I'm not smart, but I'm dumb. That but there, it puts an opposite. And for us to say this morning, I can be drunk with wine and filled with the Spirit, to me that shows contrary to the Word of God. Now look, I'm just going to show you something this morning. I have a lot of people that want to debate with me or discuss with me about drinking alcohol for the believer. And I will tell you that my personal feelings this morning and that my personal convictions and what I will take out of the Word of God and show you is I believe that it is wrong for a believer to partake in alcohol. Amen. That's my belief. Now, if you don't agree with that, I can at least show you black and white that it says right here, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. But you know, that's not what the message is on this morning. That's not what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the opposite. But be ye filled with the Spirit. This morning, I wish that I had had as many conversations with people coming to me and asking me, can I be filled with the Spirit? Is it what do I need to do to be filled with the Spirit? As many times as I have had the discussion, can I drink alcohol? I wish that I'd had as many conversations with people who had a desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be yielding their entire existence, to be following God with everything in them. I wish I had had that discussion more than I had, can I drink wine or can I drink beer or can I drink whatever. I wish that I'd had that discussion more often, but I can tell you this morning in the affirmative that I've had more discussions with people wanting to see the opposite side of that. Can I drink or can I be filled with the Spirit? But I want to ask you one question this morning and then I'll move away. I'll move away from this. I want you to ask yourself this morning, what good has ever come from my life from drinking alcohol? And then I want to ask you, has anything bad ever come to my life by drinking alcohol? Two questions, I'm moving on. As we look at the Scripture this morning, I want us to look and I want us to use this to compare and contrast being filled with the Spirit. Be ye not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. This morning, I wish that we would be filled with the Spirit in excess. I wish that we would get so much of the Spirit of God about us that when people saw us, that when they talked to us, that when they met us on the street, that they knew that we belonged to Jesus Christ, that we knew that we were yielding ourselves to Jesus Christ, that they knew that we were trying to walk in His ways and in His paths. And He says, be ye filled with the Spirit. I want to ask you this morning, how do I get filled with the Spirit? Well, I'm going to use the other side of this verse to help us point that out. You may be sitting here this morning, you say, yeah, I want to be that person. I want to be the person that when people walk to, that they know they have been with Christ. How do I get filled with the Spirit? Well, let's take the opposite side of that verse. How do you become drunk? How do you become drunk with wine? All right, so you look and you say, how do I get filled with the Spirit? Well, how do you become drunk with wine? Well, first of all, you desire it. It's something that you want to do. I've never met anybody yet that got drunk because they didn't want to. If you're drunk, it's because you wanted to get drunk, right? All right. Well, if you desire that, if you desire to be drunk with wine, and I'm not just preaching to the people who drink this morning. I don't want you to take that. I want you to take this and I want you to look and use an example and let's compare and contrast this opposite side of the verse. And let's look and say, well, if I want to be drunk and I desire to be drunk, you know what? I go somewhere where I can drink. I can go somewhere where I can get alcohol. I go somewhere where I can do whatever. And I find the opportunity to get drunk. Well, this morning, if you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, you've got to have a desire to be filled with the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God don't just happen. Now, look, let me back up 1 second and tell you this, that the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you got all of the Spirit that day that you're ever going to have. You're not going to get more and more and more Spirit, but what I'm going to tell you is that you can yield yourself more to the Spirit. You can allow Him more control in your life. You can listen to Him more. You can make Him Lord and ruler of your life more so today than you did yesterday. You don't get more of the Spirit, but what this is saying here is let yourself be so filled with the Spirit that you're yielding your entire existence to the Spirit of God. Now, in order to do that, you have to desire it. You know, let's get in the Baptist pocket here. If I want to overeat, I go to Golden Corral where I can overeat. I go and eat all I want to eat. I'm trying to get some people that may have turned me off on the alcohol thing. I want you to see this. Because it's not about whether alcohol is right or wrong. It's about, do you desire to be filled with the Spirit of God as much as you desire anything that's in this world? Do you desire to be filled with the Spirit? Do you desire for for God to have complete rule and complete reign. If I want to become drunk, I would go somewhere where they sell alcohol and I would begin to drink. I would begin to ingest it. I would go somewhere where it's available. And if you want to be filled with the Spirit of God this morning, then you need to have a desire in your heart and you need to begin to ingest the Word of God. You need to be able to take it into your heart and say, God, I want you to be rule and reign in my life. I want you to be number one in my life. God, I want you to speak to me. I want to be able to hear you almost in an audible voice. God, I want you to move in my life that way. And if we want it bad enough and we ingest enough of it, we will get filled with the Spirit of God. But do you desire it? You know what? Anything else in this world that I desire, I find a way to get it. I find a way to do it. And most of the time after I do, I'm not satisfied with it anyway. Even though I've worked so hard to accomplish it. But I want you to know this morning, if you desire to be filled with the Spirit of God and you search for the Spirit of God and you pray and you read and you study and you listen to the preaching, the preached Word of God, you can become completely, and again, what I'm saying is you can completely yield yourself to the Spirit of God. How do I get filled with the Spirit of God? You desire it, you go where it's available and you ingest it. How much Spirit do I need to be filled? How much Spirit do I need? And again, we got all the Spirit today that we got saved, but how much are you yielding yourself to the Spirit of God? How much are you listening to the Spirit of God in your life? Because you know what? Even as far, if you want to go this far and think about the alcohol situation, it's not about what I think about it. It's not about what the person beside of you thinks about it. It's not about whether you think it's right or wrong. It's about what God says in His Word and what the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you instructs you to do every single day of your life. Because I can tell you this morning that it's okay for you to eat chicken. I can't make it without chicken. I gotta have chicken. But I wanted to, and I'm just using this for a simple, dumb example this morning. But if God tells you that it's wrong for you to eat chicken, then it's wrong for you to eat chicken. If God tells you that it's wrong to do this or to do that, then it's wrong. It's all about this Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm talking about, being filled with the Spirit and for God to be able to lead you by His Spirit. So how much Spirit do I need to be filled? I don't know. How much alcohol do you need to be drunk? I don't know the answer to that question. I have learned this in my experience, that it is different for everyone. But if your goal is to experience being drunk, you will take however much it takes to get there. If whatever it takes for you to reach the place that you're wanting to be, whatever it takes for you to be drunk, you will continue until you get to that place. I want you to know this morning that I can't tell you how much of the Spirit of God that you are yielding to. I can't tell you how much of the Spirit of God that you need to yield to. But I can tell you if you desire it and you search for it and you ingest it, that if you take it in, that you will keep going until you get what you desire. That you will keep searching it out and that you will keep ingesting it and that you will keep looking for the Spirit of God in your life until you get the amount that you wanted to get. And you know what? I've seen several people that were drunk and I believe they got more than they meant to get. And I want you to know this morning that if you get more of the Spirit of God than you meant to get, I believe it'll be just fine with you this morning. I believe you'll be tickled that you got more of the Spirit of God than you meant to get. You get as much as you can. Get as much as you want. Keep going until you figure it out that I am walking in the ways that God wants me to walk, that I'm following His voice, that when He speaks, that I know that I hear. You know, I hear of people tell testimonies of driving down the road and they felt like that God told them to stop. And one story that I can remember in particular is a guy said he was driving down the road. He felt like the voice of God spoke to him and told him to stop and buy a gallon of milk. He didn't know why he was buying a gallon of milk. He stopped, bought the gallon of milk, went down the road another little piece, felt like God said, stop, take the milk to the door, knock on the door, and give it to the people. Come to find out, those people really needed that milk for whatever reason. And I read that story, and the times that I read that story, I wondered how many times God had spoke to me and instructed me to do something, but because I was not filled, not yielding to the Spirit with everything in me, that I missed out on doing what God wanted me to do. That God may have sent somebody with a broken heart my way. That God may have sent somebody in need of salvation, in need of help. But because I'm not yielding to the Spirit the way that I should, that I miss an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ. I tell you what, if I get to searching it and desiring it and going where it's at and taking all in that I can get until I overdose on the Spirit of God, I believe that I'll hear the voice of God and be more in tune with what He really wants me to do. How do I know if I'm filled with the Spirit? Well, how do you know if you're drunk? I can tell pretty quick when somebody's drunk, can't you? Because when they get to that place, their actions, their emotions, their thought process, or the lack thereof, reflects that they're drunk. Now, I've never been drunk. When I say that, I've never drank alcohol. I've been drunk on sleeping gas before when I had my wisdom teeth cut out. I've had some different medications that have done some crazy stuff to me. But I remember when my wife got her wisdom teeth cut out, she hadn't been drinking alcohol, but she was drunk. And it was hilarious. And I won't tell any tales about it because I want to live to preach next Sunday morning. But I could tell that she was drunk. She was out there in a place that I had never seen her before. Her actions, her thought process or the lack thereof, and her emotions were all messed up. I could tell that there was something wrong with her. There was something about her appearance. There was something about everything. Just the whole aura around her was different. I want you to know this morning that when we become filled with the Spirit of God and we begin to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, that we get to the place that we're in tune with the Spirit of God, that people will be able to tell by being around us that there's something different about us. Your emotions, your thought process, your actions will reflect. You know, that's what he was talking about here in the first part of Ephesians chapter 5. Your actions will reflect that there's something different about you because you're filled with the Spirit of God. You won't need me to stand there beside of you to hold you accountable for anything. You won't need your wife standing there with you when you're out of town and you're in a place that maybe things could go one way or the other. You won't need your wife standing there to hold you accountable because you'll have the Spirit of God holding you accountable, leading you so that this mess don't end up in our lives. How do I know if I'm filled with the Spirit? You will reflect that you're filled with the Spirit. Your actions, your thought process, your emotions, everything about you will reflect that you're filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to know this morning that there's a lot of days that my actions don't reflect that. That my thought process don't affect that. Because everything that I do, the Bible instructs me that everything that I do, I should do as unto the Lord. That I should be reflecting Him and giving Him glory with everything in my life. But somehow or the other, I get to be number one in my life every now and again. I get to be most important. I get to be, I'm the man, and I'm not giving God glory like I should. But if I will get filled with the Spirit, yield to the Spirit, follow after the Spirit, then the rest of this mess that's in my life, hey, you know what? You want to know what you can do, can't do, and all that mess that you've got questions about in your mind? Well, if I'm really trying to follow God, can I do this or can I do that? If you really want to know the answer to that, you work on getting filled with the Spirit, and then God will let you know what your actions should do, what your emotions should say, and what your thought process should be. You won't need anybody else to tell you what you should do and what you shouldn't do. God's Spirit living on the inside of you. Hey, have you ever done something as a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of God? Have you ever done something and just as soon as you did it, you felt like there was a knot in your stomach? And you was like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. Man, what have I just done? I messed up. And let me tell you something. I'm glad that with our God and with Jesus Christ being so graceful and so merciful to us, that that's not the end of the road. He don't zap us down and cut us down right there. But he says, here, let me give you grace and mercy for that. But there's been so many times in my life that Spirit of God began to go, wait a minute, what are you doing? And then you know what? We have the choice whether to continue or whether to look for that wave escape. He promised us a wave escape. I don't always see it. Let me take it back. I usually see it. I don't always choose it. I usually see that wave escape. I usually see that exit sign that God has prepared me away. And then I sometimes yield to that Spirit because I'm filled with the Spirit. And then there's days that I go, you know what? This looks better. Let's just put it where the rubber meets the road. This looks funner. This looks more popular. This looks like the way that I want to go. And the whole time God said, no, this is the way you need to go. If when I become filled with the Spirit, my actions, my thought process, my emotions will take care of me and help me to be filled with the Spirit. Why would I want to be filled with the Spirit? Why would you want to be filled with the Spirit? Why would you want to be drunk? Well, I've talked to people and I say, well, what is it about drinking that you like so good? What is it about it? And they say, well, I like it, for one thing. I just like the taste of it. Again, I have never tasted it. And I won't say from the pulpit what I always say it smells like. But I cannot understand why anybody takes that one time and goes, I believe it's going to be good. It don't make sense to me. I do believe that there are people who have acquired a taste for it, and I do believe that, you know, that I've talked to people who say, oh, on a hot day, there's nothing better. Well, that's your opinion. But I've had people say, I like it. I love the taste of it. I've had people tell me, oh, it's so relaxing. It'll take the pressure off of you. It'll help you kind of just to relax and get through the day. I've had people tell me that, well, it's such a social thing to do. And I've told you before that I've been to some of my manager's meetings and everybody stands, that's their security blanket. They stand around with a beer in their hand and talk. And here I am, and I think I've told you this before, but there was a time that I was in a place and it got really uncomfortable, and I was the only person that didn't have one in my hand, and my phone mysteriously rung. Not really, it didn't ring at all. I got down my pocket and I was walking away going, hello? Trying to get myself out of it, and I just knew it was going to ring while I had it to my ear and let everybody know that I was faking. I just knew it was going to happen. And I was like, please don't ring, please don't ring. And I stood over and I paced back and forth for about 10 minutes. I said, I got to go take care of this, guys. Y'all have a good night. And dismissed myself. And it's such a social thing to do. And it soothes my troubles. And it helps me through my burdens and my trials. And I don't know. I've never been there. I don't know what that is. But I want to tell you this morning that if we'll get filled with the Spirit of God, you will find answers for your troubles, not a soothing for your trouble. You will find an answer to your trouble. You will find someone that will carry your burdens. He said, casting all of your care upon me, for I care for you. You'll find somebody that will help you with all it. Well, it helps me to relax. I want to tell you something. You get in God's hands and you get to where you're fully entrusting in God. I don't care what comes your way. I don't care what today brings, what tomorrow brings, that you don't even know what may come next week. Just knowing that you've got somebody there that loves you, that cares for you, that already has your tomorrow all planned out, that knows where you're going to be. I promise you, you can relax in that if you'll trust fully in Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this. We've got two situations going on in our church right now. Sister Rose is over here, and she is battling cancer. Hospice has come in. She's there, and you know, she don't know how much time she has left. No, neither do any of us. And I know that my God is able to completely heal her if that's what He chooses to do. But if not, I know that He's got a place waiting for her, and she's ready to go. But Sister Rose is sitting over here, and here she is going through her battle with cancer. Here she is just day by day not knowing what's coming along. Now you walk over there this afternoon, you go knock on her door, and you ask her whether she had rather have peace and relaxation and problem solving through alcohol, or whether she had rather have the peace of God and the trust of God and the grace of God. I promise you, I know what the answer is to that. When you get down to where you really need help from somebody, to where you really need something to relax you, to soothe you, to handle your troubles, I promise you that Jesus Christ is the only thing that you'll ever find that can handle your troubles, that can relax you, that can give you peace when nothing else can give you peace, that Jesus Christ is the answer to that. Get filled with the Spirit. Then this week, I got a call one day from Jason Hooker. Jason called me and said, Josh, I need you to pray. He said, my dad is, I think he drives a truck, and he was out in California, and he got out of the truck for one reason or the other, ended up being struck by a car. Now, Jason and Leanne has flown to California to be there with his dad. They're out there not knowing what the outcome is going to be. The text that he's sending me is showing small improvements, but there's still a whole lot going on that I don't know about, and I don't even know if the doctors know exactly what all's going on. Now, when we leave service today, when we go outside, I'll give you his number if you want it. Don't everybody do it at one time because we don't want to blow him up. But if you want to call Jason and ask him, and you know what? There's a whole lot of things that's been going on behind the scenes in his life. It seems like, I don't know if y'all remember this or not, but there was a Sunday that Jason shouted sitting right back here. And it seems like since that Sunday that the devil has attacked him. I mean, one thing right after the other, the devil has been on his case. And he just keeps texting me and saying, God's good. It's going to be okay. God's good. It's going to be okay. And then this come this week, and he texted me yesterday, and he said, the last 36 hours of my life have just been horrible. He said, it's just been awful. And I don't even have words to say back to him. But you call him when we leave today, and you offer him You offer him to be drunk with wine or to have the Spirit of God, and I promise you he'll choose the Spirit of God because he knows that's what can get him through. He knows that's what can help him in the middle of this situation. And again, this is not so much about drinking as it is we need to desire the Spirit of God in our life to be filled with the Spirit of God, because it may be you this week. It may be me this week. There has been other situations just this week that people have texted, not even told the reason, not even told why, but I need you to pray for this situation. I need you to pray for that situation. Well, what are you going to do when it comes to your family, when you need help from God? I tell you what, man, I can't help it. I get on my little tangent right here. You call Anheuser-Busch and ask them to help you and see what you get. Or you call on a God that loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you, that wanted to provide a way for you to escape this world, that wanted to forgive you of your sin, that knew that you was going to fall and fail, but yet he had grace and mercy for you. You take your choice, but I'll take God over it any day of the week. I'm so thankful for God loving us that way. Now look, being filled with the Spirit of God is not easy. You have to put effort into it. It's not something that just automatically happens. But guess what? For the ones that stay drunk, they don't really stay drunk, do they? They have to put a little effort into it. You can see when they get ready to call for snow, I work right beside the ABC store just around the corner from it. Most of the time, that's kind of sad. Everybody calls my office and says, "Where are you at?" And I say, "Well, do you know where the ABC store is?" "Yep, I know where that's at." And I give them directions. But you let them call for a little bit of snow where people might think they're going to be in the house for a day or two. And I mean, the ABC store will light up. Zoom, 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 zoom. Got to make sure we get what we want. I want to tell you something this morning. If we would take that sense of urgency with being filled with the Spirit. You know what I have to do in my life? I don't get up and say, "God, I want you to fill me with your Spirit for my life. God, I want you just to have complete control over the rest of my life." I get up today and I say, "God, help me today to be filled with your Spirit. God, help me for the next 2 hours to be filled with your Spirit. For the next 8 hours while I'm worried, help me to be filled with the Spirit." It's something that's an ongoing process. And be not drunk with wine where it is in excess. Well, if you want to stay drunk with wine, you have to continue to put that in you, don't you? You have to continue. It's not a one-time. It's not just a fix-all. And that's the way it is with the Spirit of God. If you really want it and you seek it and you ingest it and you put the effort into it, you can yield yourself to the Spirit of God. And it brings you a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, your Savior. Hannah, if you will, come on and find the invitational hymn for us this morning. I want to give you the first step. Now look, some of you cut me off a long time ago when I said, "And be not drunk with wine where it is in excess." And that's okay. I'm not really preaching about you drinking this morning. I don't drink, so I ain't going to preach about my drinking. But whatever that is in your life, I tell you what, you pray about it, you get filled with the Spirit, and then we'll discuss it. But here's what I want to tell you first and foremost, that I believe it is important for every believer to be filled with the Spirit of God. I believe that it is so important because you don't know what's coming tomorrow. You may say, "Well, preacher, you've told us that we're a winner either way. If the world blows up tomorrow, that we're all going to heaven." Amen. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to heaven if the world blows up tomorrow. But what if something just happens in your house tomorrow? What if you just need God's help in your house tomorrow? What if one of your kids is sick tomorrow? What if your neighbor calls and they need something that's just happened crazy in their life? Or would they call you? If they needed somebody to get in touch with God over a situation in their life, would they call you? Would they say, "I know that you're filled with the Spirit, that you can get a hold of God"? Hey, it's important for us to keep our place, ourselves, in that kind of situation with God, in that kind of relationship with God. But you know the first step to that? I want to give you the first step to all of it. The first step is not that you quit drinking, and I'm talking about lost people. The first step is not that you quit drinking. The first step is not that you quit cussing. The first step is not that you quit doing whatever you're doing. The first step to being filled with the Spirit of God is realizing that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he gave his life on a cross for you. The first step to being filled, to having that indwelling of the Spirit of God in you, is to know that you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins, and to be Lord and Savior of your life. I want to tell you this morning that every evangelist that you've ever heard preach, Every person that you know of that is saved by the grace of God, they had to do the very same thing. It's not different for anyone. You know, people talk about my family sometimes because my grandpa's a preacher, my daddy's a preacher, my brother's a preacher, my daddy-in-law's a preacher, I got an uncle that's a preacher. Oh, you're just surrounded by preacher. But you know what? If I didn't finally come to the realization that I was a sinner and that I needed Jesus Christ, and if I didn't personally accept Him into my life, that I would die and go to hell with just everybody else. It's the same for everybody. If you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, come to know that you need Jesus Christ. Because what? You know, there's going to come a day that you need Him. There's going to come a day that you need Him. You say, well, I don't know, preacher. I got everything pretty good in order in my life. I got good health, and I'm not sick, and my family, we're all doing good. Well, let's say that everything on this earth always is wonderful. It's not going to be, but let's just say that it does. I promise you, when you stand before Jesus Christ in judgment, you're going to need Him. I want us to pray together this morning. Hannah's going to sing. And I know if you're here this morning and you're lost, you say, well, this message has been mostly to believers about how we need to be filled with the Spirit. But if you're here this morning and you're lost and you walk away from here without Jesus Christ, you are taking the biggest risk of anybody that I know. You're taking a risk that you're going to have an opportunity. Well, preacher, right before I die, I'm going to get saved. You're not guaranteed that. You're not promised that. The Bible tells us the only time that we can get saved is when the Spirit of God is speaking to us. And if God don't speak to you at that moment, you cannot get saved. And that's why I encourage you, if you're here this morning and you're lost and God's speaking to you, don't walk out those doors. He's kept His promise that one time He would speak to you. Every other time is grace. Lord, I want to thank You and I want to praise You for this opportunity to be in Your house. God, I want to thank You for this opportunity You've given us to get in Your Word and to learn about being filled with the Spirit. And God, I know I compared and contrasted a lot with being drunk with wine. God, I pray that Your Father, that You'll help us to put that in the back of our importance. But God, that we be filled with the Spirit as believers. God, that we search for You, that we have a desire for You and Your Word. God, I pray, dear Father, if there's one here this morning and they're lost and they don't know You, God, help them to make that first step of being filled with the Spirit, and that's becoming a Christian. God, touch our church. Help us to be exactly what You'd have us to be. And God, I pray, dear Father, that You'll have Your will and way in this invitation. Maybe there's some here that's walked away from You, let some things in their life that shouldn't be there. I pray that You'll get them right. And God, maybe some of us as Christians just need to get around this altar and pray that we'll be filled with the Spirit. I pray that You'll help us to do that. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.